Good morning, everybody. It's great to see all of you here. And about 3 weeks ago, Chuck asked if I would be able to speak, and I said yes. And so, of course, as soon as that question comes to you, you start deliberating. What am I going to talk about? You start praying, Lord, what do you want me to say? Is there something special? What should I share with the people? And for about 20 out of 21 days of those 3 weeks, I had this little idea floating through my mind, which was a meditation by Ephrem the Syrian, who was one of the church fathers. And it's a meditation on how Scripture is like a treasure, and Scripture is like living water, and how the Word of God feeds us. And sometimes we eat, and then we're full for a while. But somebody else is still hungry, and they need to eat more, and we shouldn't resent that they're needing to eat when we're already full. And it's a very lovely reflection. And I looked and looked to find this, and I couldn't find it, and I just thought, well, maybe I'm not going to find that in time. And I continued praying, and yesterday as I prayed, and actually Shoshi and I are both doing internet searches for this. The person who I had heard it from first was out of town, and I couldn't get in touch with him. So Shoshi, of course, found it on the web, which was great, but that's not what I'm going to share today. Because really, I don't think I was supposed to find that. In the meantime, or the last few weeks in our lives have been very, very busy. The kind of busy where you go to bed thinking about your list of things that you have to do. You sort of dream about them, and then you wake up again with your next list of things that you have to do. And they're big things. There are lots of commitments because the beginning of the school year was happening. People are arriving from out of town, and some of them don't really speak English, and you have to help absorb people. And in the background of all that, of course, every day I do read Haaretz online. Less frequently than I read the Jerusalem Post. I think it was partly because the layout on the webpage is easier for me to read on Haaretz for some reason. I like their format. But of course, we've all watched what's been going on for the last 3 weeks. And in reality, what's going on is that a storm is brewing. And those of us who have lived here a long time, and even those who haven't lived here so long, realize that this storm isn't going to go away very quickly. And that we have to sort of steel ourselves once again to live through a difficult period. We see that babies and children are getting killed because of the actions of adults. We see that heads of households are getting killed and leaving orphans behind them. And these are terrible realities. And they wear us down. And that's one kind of storm that we're living with in our daily life. And sometimes we don't think about it so much, but it's there. That storm is happening. And then there are other storms that are going on in our lives. And many of those storms are personal. Perhaps we're dealing with chronic illness or a disability. And there's not a quick or easy solution to living with our pain. Perhaps we live in a family that's dysfunctional or a single parent. And we're tired and weary from being emotionally drained and physically drained. Perhaps we're working in an organization in which there's conflict or injustice or lack of fulfillment or economic struggle. The longer we live and the older we get, the more we realize that not everything gets fixed easy. And our desire as adults, is, at least as parents especially, is to want to make it okay. We want to make it all right. We want to fix situations for people. We want to give a solution that will solve a problem. But there's not all problems can be solved quickly. And many problems we have to live through until they resolve themselves. And that's part of our walk as believers and part of our walk as children of God. Whether we're believers or whether we're not, life is this way. And so as in the background, you know, life is wild for us the last few weeks, and there's been a lot of challenges, and sometimes I get very tired to the point where I get discouraged. I also had to start preparing for my lectures for school. And I'm not a collector. I mean, I don't have collections of things. Do I, you guys? I don't collect anything. The only thing that I collect that I'm really aware of is notes from good sermons and good Bible studies, or lectures that I hear that somehow for me put something together in a way that really had the wow factor. It had that kind of insight into a text of Scripture or into a theme in Christian living that made a difference for me, that gave me a perspective. So I'm going through organizing my stuff because I'm teaching Gospels this semester, and I came upon a sermon that I had received by email or fax from a colleague here in Jerusalem who had celebrated his 50 years as a priest. And so he had this big party in the United States, and he wrote a special address that he gave for that party in the United States that reflected on his 18 years in the Middle East. And this is a portion, this is a sermon that I read personally because it helps me as a grown-up who's in this marathon of serving God. And it helps me when the storms are raging to have a perspective. So I thought today I would do something a little bit different. I thought I would bring the sermon that this priest had given on the 50th anniversary of his ordination, reflecting on his 18 years of serving God as a Christian who wants to express the gospel in the Middle East and yet faces the relentless specter of unresolved conflicts and issues. His name was Thomas Fitzpatrick. He's retired now and he's back in the United States. But if you will indulge me, I'm going to read from his sermon to you today because I think that it's so appropriate for many of the things that people are going through right now. So here it is. Faith Journey Through 18 Years in the Middle East. I would like to relate to you what this experience in the Middle East has meant to me on the level of faith, on the level of my faith development. Over the past years, in my prayer and reflection, several bothering questions were persistent. It is around these that I would like to concentrate my thoughts on my faith journey in the Middle East. The first question is simply this: how is God present in the mess of the Middle East? In the ongoing pain of whole peoples, in the ongoing hatred, uncertain confusion, suspicion, and mistrust, how have I and how do I find God in all this? I have not found this easy. In the 18 years of living in this human tragedy, every day in the liturgy, the community prays for peace. Yet, in all this time, there has been little, or in most cases, no movement. I have even talked at liturgies about this. What does praying for peace mean? There is no peace. One thought that has been helpful for me is that if God is with us only when all is well or when we feel okay, then he is not with us much of the time. Much of the time, all of us are dealing with some conflict on some level, even if it does not compare with the magnitude of the conflict in the Middle East. But I have found that it is inherently impossible for me to accept that God is not with us in the conflict itself. That is where he is present to us. He is not just a bystander watching us pull ourselves apart. The very nature of conflict itself prevents us from sensing or knowing God's presence. It may only be sometime later that we could see how God was present in the pain. The pain itself tends to be overwhelming. In the Gospels, at the scene of the crucifixion, part of the pain of Jesus is represented in that he senses himself abandoned by God. We can ask the question, was God not present with Jesus on the cross? But the pain was overwhelming for Jesus as a human being, a pain that we share sometimes. The second question that has stimulated much reflection and prayer for me is very much related to the first and helps in understanding God's presence in conflict, and that question is, how does God care for us? First of all, notice that we are dealing with elemental realities of the Christian faith. How is God present? And how does God care? I have found that living in the Middle East, I have lost much of my theology and have been challenged to confront and be confronted by the basics of faith. The good of this is that what I have is more mine and not just what somebody else has told me. With all the confusion and pain of the Middle East and having to struggle deeply with it, I am a better person. I begin to discuss the second question of how does God care for us by recalling a moment of prayer in a retreat I made in Jerusalem some 10 years ago. For this particular prayer exercise, I had chosen a passage from the Gospel about one of the storms on the Sea of Galilee. You remember the one where the wind and waves are raging, and Jesus is sleeping peacefully, and a detail is given that he is resting on a cushion. The disciples begin to be demonstrative with him, saying that he does not care, that they are going under, that they are in imminent danger of drowning. Jesus responds by criticizing their faith. Oh, you of little faith. The movement in the prayer that has proved to be powerful and enduring for me is that Jesus does not answer their question directly. Don't you care, Jesus? There is the strong suspicion, because of the whole meaning of the passage, that if Jesus were to answer that question directly, he would have said, "No, I do not care. I do not care whether the boat goes down." What Jesus does care about is how they are dealing with the pending disaster on the level of faith. You of little faith. This insight was most powerful for my prayer for the rest of the retreat. Jesus, we believe, is the expression of God for us, so that what we say about Jesus, we say about God. God, then, does not care if the ship goes down. He is not simply a fixer-upper man. What he does care about is how we are dealing with this in our faith. All of our ships are sinking. Eventually, every ship will sink. Even this body of mine has begun to sink. How do we deal with this? Are we so overwhelmed that we lose faith, that we despair? In the pain and conflict, have we become so downtrodden that we cannot appreciate the beauty anymore? This is God's care. God does not care that the ship is sinking. He cares for you and me and how we are alive to his life despite it all, or even how we are alive to him through it all. Maybe I can bring this together by saying that we have to be God to and for one another. That's where we find God. You have to be God for me, and I have to be God for you, and that in all our contacts. I have the grace of the companionship of my family over the years. I find God with them without even thinking about it. This thought is a help to me in the experience of the Middle East. There is lots of love amidst the distress. There are lots of good Palestinians and Israelis, and lots of Palestinians and Israelis who get along very well together. We have to be God for one another. When we care for one another, that is God taking care of us. We meet God in our care for one another. In our faith, we are a river. We flow along, bumping into one another and jostling one another. The river flows along, and God has jumped into this river, who we are, and with everybody is jostled and sometimes shoved. The river bends and curves, and even bends backwards at times, but inevitably the river runs into the sea. We, with God and one another, finally reach beauty and life. May God manifest his grace to you in your storms this week, so that through you he can express his love to other people, and in other people you may see his expression of love to you.
We're going to close in prayer. And one of the ways that we can be the Lord's hand extended is through the ministry of Shevetachim, who they're going to be going through a very, turns out to be sometimes traumatic, time of selection of children who are candidates for operations, who are the ones that are too far gone. Maybe you can tell us just a little bit about that.
Tomorrow, our Shevet team will leave here to go to Amman and we're going to be screening about 32 families who are coming from coming from the Iraq area. It's very difficult for the doctors. A lot of these cases that we bring, some of them have never seen a doctor before. Others have been told no several times. So this is a lot of the parents' last chance. And, I think the best part of and most difficult part of the ministry and the most important part of the ministry is when they get bad news, and it's when our staff has a chance to come there and during this storm of their life. And I know God, like Claire said, I know God sees that storm, and the importance is right how we respond to that. And for us, it's only we can do it with a prayer of peace and a prayer of hope that that child will be seen later in the afterlife. For the children that are not accepted, we do have a time of praying for them and an anointing with oil. It can be a hard time for the staff. Please be in prayer for all of them as they go through this process, and also be a time of celebrations for the ones we are able to bring back with us. There's a lot of logistical planning that goes into it. Often there are emergency cases. Kids have to be brought immediately, and that's always another storm. So please be in prayer for that.
Why don't you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Lord, we open up before you ourselves and our heart to fortify us, God. We need to be strong for people when their lives are shattered. I pray, Lord, that that strength would not come through a feeling of self-help or a piece of our character, but rather, Lord, straight from your word of life. And they look at us, they wouldn't just see a white Caucasian or a Jew or an Arab who's there to lay a hand on their back and say, it'll be okay. We're there to say that there's a God that's bigger than all of this. It's bigger than what's happening with your child right now. And I know that doesn't register with you, but we can trust him together. Lord, I pray for the situation in Gaza and the great difficulties people are facing there with no real solution. Lord, we step out of the boat with the attitude of faith, knowing that you're even in this storm. And we ask for, I don't know for peace, I don't know for healing, I don't know for healing relationships. We just ask for the faith to believe that you're there.
Amen. Let's all stand.